Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. All right. Thanks for listening to Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Let's go to Hour number 2. For more information, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure you like and follow us on Facebook as well. Now, let's get to the show.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you got it.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, hour two. Where's this time going already?
Jeez, and we're already, man, it's February. Where's this year going already?
Man, I'm looking into March already going, wow, this is, now I'm back in town a little more now. So, I mean, I'm starting to get, I've got one more big trip coming up. And then I've got Over the Ideas Show, which will be coming up here in a few weeks, which is going to be great in King of Prussia. So all you guys over there in Eastern PA listening to us over there and around the house, make sure you come over and see me at the Ideas Show coming up. So that's going to creep up around the corner. And then I think my next trip is, I have on the docket, is going to be my Milwaukee Tools trip, which is always fun.
Oh, you mean, what do you call it? Tool Summer Camp?
Yeah. Yeah. Tool Summer Camp. That's where I get to see all my friends. We hang out and play with red tools for a few days, which is always
good. Oh, that sounds so horrible for you.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's going to be so bad.
I know, but you dislike Milwaukee tools.
I know. They're good to play with. You know, can't complain. Well, hey, this hour I wanted to talk about smart homes. And, you know, we all see the commercials. Like, you know, we all have seen the people running their light switches with Alexa. Mm-hmm. They're all seeing... what is it? I think Samsung is Bixby. That's their system. There's a commercial that I saw that's a Samsung commercial. And the dad walks in and goes, Bixby, it's cleaning day. And the robotic vacuum comes off. And he's talking to the refrigerator when it happens. And the lights get brighter so you can clean. The laundry starts on its own. The dishwasher starts. And things start going.
I mean, That sounds super cool. It sounds like a little advanced as far as starting out with a smart home.
It is. But that's all just in your appliance manufacturer because that's all made by Samsung.
Oh, okay.
Wow. This isn't a Samsung commercial. They're not paying me to say this, but that's all their products. But let's dial it back and start talking about some of those smart home basics of where you start, because I know there's a lot of people out there that want some of this automation that legitimately makes their house more secure, might save them money, that kind of stuff. But you really got to start out with, when you're talking home automation and home smart homes, you have what they call the hub. So this is kind of the brain that's going to run everything else. If you don't have a hub, basically, or a system that's everything's going to run on, you're going to have 12 different apps on your phone. So you're going to have your front door lock, you're going to have your garage door opener, you're going to have all these different things controlling each individual item. But you've got 12 places on your phone, or your other device, or your iPad, you're going to look up to control it.
Super inconvenient.
Super inconvenient. You want a one-stop shop. That's the best plan, because then they can play together and work well together. So think about what system you're going to use as a hub to start with. Is it going to be Google? Is it going to be Apple? Is it going to be Samsung? And the list goes on. Is it going to be, you know, Z-Wave technology? What are you going to use as your main system? Because no matter what, I want you to design around that system, because that way you can look it up and say, okay, my purchases from here on out have to be within this system.
Have to be compatible.
It has to be compatible, because this is the language that all these things are going to communicate. We talked about the other day here about having those languages be the same. You want to make sure that your appliance brands are going to be able to talk to everything else in the house so they play well together. And that's one of the most important things, is to dial it back and deal with that. Then you can look onto that hub and say, okay, I'm going to be using Apple, let's say. Now you can look and see what devices work with that system. Otherwise, you're gonna have something that's gonna be outside of that, and you're gonna have to go to a specific app to run it. Now, I ran into problems with my Brilliant Light. I love my Brilliant Light controls. Now, for you guys that haven't seen that or been to any one of my seminars where I'm giving classes on, Brilliant is a smart home controller that runs, that basically replaces the light switch. There's an LCD screen. You can jump on there, control things, everything else. It worked with my Nest thermostat great until October 31st when Google bought Nest and then made it not available to Brilliant.
Well, that sucks.
They quit giving access to it.
Which is what they did. That's what they can do.
Yeah. So what did I do? I bought a nice Ecobee thermostat and it worked great. And I replaced my Nest because I was running a different system. But I go out and test a lot of different systems. And so that was one of my funny comments that I got when I was a few weeks ago at Design and Construction Week. People are like, well, what system do you use? And I go, I don't. I have multiple ones because I'm testing stuff out to see what works and what doesn't. So these are things that I want you to think about, though. That is your foundation for everything you go out from here. I want you to think about that. Now, if you're out replacing appliances, this is kind of that next step. If you want to have smart appliances, they can do a lot to make things easier for you. For instance, you put a refrigerator on there. You can be at the grocery store and you can access your refrigerator and see how much milk is in my fridge. And there's different levels of this. There's stuff that can measure, it scans in and it reads the products that are in there. And it's like a grocery store where you're literally back scanning into your refrigerator and then it knows how much you have in there. That's a whole level of smart home, all within your appliances, that it's automatically going to do it for you.
And so you don't have, I mean, I would think that there's some sort of input that you as the user have to do for something like that.
Yeah, there usually is. You're scanning something in, it's going to read the bottle with, you know, there's a lot of AI type stuff, artificial intelligence going into these things now. I digress. I go over to my Sense home energy monitoring system. I've been running that for a few weeks in my house. It now knows what power is being used by what.
What is regular for your use?
Yeah. I can look at it and say, hey, that's weird. When are my refrigerators running so much? Am I having a refrigerator problem? I could see when my toaster kicked on in the morning, see when the coffee maker. And yeah, who cares? Well, you can troubleshoot problems. If you have electrical faults, if you've got an appliance that's failing, that's running too long, you now can see that it's running too long and it's costing you money. All right, cool. Now you can see what that new home appliance is actually costing you because it can figure exactly what the power is. And if you put in your cost per kilowatt hour, it'll tell you what that thing's running. So if you change out and go to a new system or something new, you can see what the old cost was and the new cost was and compare them and see if you're actually getting the savings that you want. But again, to digress back, we're going to have to go back to that hub, make sure that everything works. That doesn't work with everything. But make sure that they go from there and then build out. One of the easiest things you can do too is light switches. You know, you can put that Brilliant in. I think that Brilliant system in the controller works good. We've talked about it a ton. We've had the interviews on here. So I'm not going to get into those details. You can go back in the podcast and catch it with the interview with the CEO. But long story short, that is a good controller that you can run your home from. What I like about it is it's good in a hallway. It can be a video conference. It can be a camera. So think about it as that. That is one thing. If you're designing or building a house, remodeling a house right now, think of your lighting as something different. Those light switches now are controllers. They're video cameras. I can check my door and answer my door from my little touchscreen.
You can have a conversation with someone at your door through your phone.
Yeah. So maybe where you want to put that, and they've got cameras on them as well. So there's other things there. You can put that switch in the right location where you're looking at your dogs because you know when you're gone, they're hanging out by the front door. You can check on your dogs via that.
That or put one in the closet because they're going to eat all the shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. And which is never good. You know, train your dog. Don't lock them in the closet. Just saying. But here's the thing. That's the thing you can do with this kind of stuff. So we're going to get more here when we get into the next segment about home technology. But I really want to just get out there that the first part of this is getting that hub down. And then we can start talking about things that are going to save you money. I mean, I've had that Bluetooth sprinkler controller for a couple of years, the Ratio. That saved me hundreds of dollars in high water usage around here. And you know something? You can actually have leak detection with it too. And so we'll talk about that when we come back. Between that, lights, and then garage door openers, and all these different things. I want to talk about how you can make them play together. And lighting is going to be the next thing I want to talk about, is scenes and lighting, how you set that up as a general 30,000 foot level thing that you can make it so your kids can watch TV, you can watch TV, and if the grandparents over, you can have different scenes in different light levels, because somebody that is 65 years old is going to use twice the amount of light that somebody that's 25 to see the exact same way. We come back, we're going to talk more about home technology and get you going. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Well, a fancy car and expensive clothing. You can buy me a drink. I can get you a Jennifer Lopez. And I can buy you a ring that's bigger than Kobe's. No time for me to stories of mine. Don't take the call. No time for me to stories of mine. Have a gun until I'm.
What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of the show, everybody. Hey, if you want to hit us up, make sure you ask questions, because we're here to help you. How do you do that? Head over to Around the House on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Head us up there. You can also jump over to Around the House online to our website. There's a Contact Us page there. Of course, you can give a call into the studio, because that's your 24 access line. And I know Dane's got all the information on that, because that's his baby.
I do. As far as contacting us, we'd love to get your phone calls, because we want to actually put you in the radio show. Our number here in the studio, 971-233-8992. That is a 24/7 call or text line. Anytime that you have a question, we'd love to have you reach out to us.
And if we're in the studio, which, you know, this show airs all different times across the country. So if we're in the studio, I'm going to grab it, and we're going to put you on the air. If not, don't worry. Leave your message. Leave your question. I'll call you back. We'll call you back. We'll put you in the show. It's going to be a great time. Well, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We're in here having a good time talking some home technology. And we want to just kind of lay the basics down, because as we go this year with the show, we're going to talk about more and more detailed stuff. But I kind of just wanted to go to a one-on-one here for people out there that are wanting to know how this stuff works. And more importantly, kind of what are the concerns and what are the pluses and minuses with it? Now, one of the biggest things that I noticed at CES last month was security and privacy are one of the biggest things.
People, it's a big deal.
It is. And, you know, I can say for myself, I've been concerned about it. How many times have I had that Google Home or Alexa device, and you talk about something around the dinner table and it's listening to you, and all of a sudden the ads are showing up for it?
Yep.
That's not a coincidence, folks.
Nope. That is, it's made to work that way.
So you need to check all your settings, if it's listening or not, and make sure that you've got your privacy where you're comfortable with it. That still freaks me out. I don't like it.
No.
But if I want to yell for it, it's got to listen, because it's got to hear me saying something.
And if you've disabled it, it won't hear you. It won't hear you. Until you re-enable it.
So there's the catch 22. Do I think we're going to have laws out there that are going to be different? Absolutely. Are we going to have laws that probably limit some of this stuff? But yeah, no question. You're going to have information that is your private information that is going to be in the hands of a private company, whether you like it or not, with the smart home stuff.
And due to whether it be a privacy agreement or anything like that, they have the rights to use that pretty much however they please.
So if you don't like smart home stuff, now's the time to say, I'm not playing along and I'm going to keep away from that stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're like me and many other people across the country, they go, you know, there's some benefits to this. This is where you kind of have to figure out where you draw that line in the sand. You know, with me, I'm sitting here right now going, man, I got an Amazon package coming today. I need to get that Mortgage to Oregon segment shot so I can get that garage door opener up that'll open up for my Amazon person. So I don't have to worry about it getting wet. I don't have to worry about it getting stolen or damaged being outside. So with technology, one of the things that I want to talk about with lighting, and we kind of teased it with it last segment, but when you plan lighting out, really do lighting. Don't just do one circuit. If you plan a room with your, like, let's go Lutron Casita, that system, and it's a good system. So this eliminates a three-way switch, for instance. And a three-way switch is, for all you that don't know, when you walk into a room and you've got a switch on each end of the room, like there's two entrances, that's a three-way switch. That's where lighting has changed. You don't need a three-way switch anymore. You can have a remote.
The stupidest things.
Yeah, you can have a remote control now. So why have it? So when you're remodeling, you don't have to add that extra switch. You literally have a remote that mounts up like it's a switch. It looks like it's a switch when you have a wall plate on it, but it's not. It's a battery-powered remote, and it'll last for years in the battery. But my thing is that I want to say is think about setting lighting scenes. You can set up movie night. So you could have two or three circuits in your room. Maybe it's the lights in the living room, the dining room, the kitchen, and a great room. And you could have movie night, and it dims it down for TV or movie watching. You can have dinner. It dims down everything else, leaves the dining room lights on. You can set these scenes up. That way you can use it as you want to. Hey, it's dinner. Boom. You can voice activate it. You know, hey, Alexa or Siri or whatever, set the lights to dinner. Boom. Lights come on. You've got it at the perfect setting for your time of year.
Just think about setting it as a profile, multiple different profiles for different times of the day or different things that you use your lights for.
It's no different than setting your car stereo settings in your vehicle to where you want it to be. And more importantly, your seat presets.
Yep.
Think of it as like that.
Personalizing your space.
Yeah. And then you can do that. You can do that in your bedroom. You can have that getting ready. And so you've got the closet lights on and you've got the lights over the bed down. Or you can have it as, hey, bathroom. You can have the bathroom, shower, makeup. You can set all these things differently in there. Or you can have it where it's, you know, midnight using the bathroom type of thing where you've got just a toe kick light or a very dim light on where you're not walking into 1,000 lumens of bright light at 1 o'clock in the morning because you got to use the bathroom.
Yep.
So think about all these different things and how you're going to use them. And more importantly, you have to think about if you're going to voice activate them, where you're putting things that can listen to your voice.
Make sure it can hear you.
Because otherwise, you can't really get that to the pace where you're going to actually get that where you have control of it. Otherwise, you're going to your phone or a light switch and you're doing it manually.
Extra steps.
Those are extra steps, which make it less convenient. So think about that stuff moving forward. How automated do you want it? And what do you want it to do? Now, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about home security and some of the things that you can do around your house. Because, you know, I was down at my buddy's place in SoCal and he had a problem. He was home at his other house this last year. He was hanging out at the house. His garage door was open. He came in to make a sandwich. Nice neighborhood. I mean, he's in million-dollar homes. Somebody came by and cleaned out his tools out of his garage while he was in his own house. They walked underneath the window, walked over there, rode off on his e-bike and stole a whole bunch of stuff.
It doesn't matter what kind of neighborhood you're in.
It
really doesn't.
So long story short, he has a really cool system that is smart and he's hooked it into a couple different things. And I want to talk about that. And we'll do that when we come back because I think home security and monitoring things around your house on the exterior is a really big deal on keeping your house safe and secure. And I love it when I'm traveling because I can see what's going on. And that's one of those things that can really make it nice. If you can monitor your house, you're good. I'm Eric G, and you're listening to Around the House.
Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand for family, friends, and all the fans. If you're gonna take on the world, fight like a band.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
You know, we've been talking technology and some of the basics because, you know, we get into the weeds sometimes on it here in the show. And I just want to kind of dial it back and say, okay, if you want to get into home technology, what are some of the basic things you can do without creating the Jetsons house? And we talked about it this last time. I was down at my buddy Scotty's house in SoCal, and he'd had that break-in problem last year. He came up with a really cool camera system around his house. He's got, you know, 8 or 9 cameras around there. But what I like about his camera over just my Ring doorbell system I have now is it has, of course, motion detection. But the other thing I like is it has voice activation. So it'll come up and not say, it won't be motion, but it'll go, audio was heard at this camera.
Okay.
So if someone is outside of camera range, but they're talking, you can hear them coming. And it'll notify you before they get on camera.
Or just even like saying someone using, I don't know, either a drill or a saw or some tool to break in, it'll pick that up.
It'll pick that up. And maybe it's off camera. Maybe you don't have a camera there. So it'll pick these things up. And so it was kind of cool. I was like, okay, that's a cool little thing I might need to look at. That camera system, I'm not going to get into the brands because it doesn't matter. There's dozens of them out there. But the more important part is, man, that's another layer of security, which I like. Now, that's something that I think, and here's a good little electrical tip for you out there while you're doing work around the house. What I like about electrical tips like this is that this is one of those things that if you're doing another project, you can have somebody come in and take care of that for you. When you're working on electrical projects like this, I want you to really make sure that you think forward, because like on my house, I've got electrical, solar powered stuff for my lights and security. If you're going to be doing some electrical, have that electrician come out there and add electrical outlets under your eaves or on the outside of the house. So if you're putting in a camera, you've got a plug in. You're not relying on a solar panel or something else like that. You've got a power there. It also works great for Christmas lights too.
Yeah.
So run two circuits out there.
Easy
one
access.
Run for Christmas lights, one for your security cameras, and then you can put those on a backup type system.
I know we're after the holidays, but just saying it because it's a problem every year. That way you don't have to run that electrical or that extension cord out underneath your garage door.
And light your house on fire.
And just cause so many problems.
It just still hurts my heart 20 years later thinking about the family friend that burned his garage down with his classic cars in it that weren't insured because they're in the garage. He didn't think about it. So
could have saved that if you just put outlets out there on the outside under the eaves.
So think about that. It's a good electrical tip. Have those outlets put around there and they'll put them in a GFCI or whatever your local code is, and then you're good to go. That way you've got extra power out there and you can run these security cameras all day long. And that's one of those things that I really, really like. And it's easy to do. And you can make a voice activated if you do it correctly. So you could have your Christmas lights go onto a schedule. You can put them on the app or you can voice activate them. You know, you could set it up where you say Merry Christmas and it turns the lights on.
Hey, there you go.
If you want to get crazy with it. So anyway, just things to think about when you're getting into this stuff that I really want you to pay attention to. Those little details make a huge difference on, I don't like having cables run all around. If you can get that dialed in, you're much better off.
It's accessibility. I mean, it's just making it easier on you. It's not as much of a headache. You don't have to run any cords anywhere. It's just easily accessible. The easier you can make it on yourself, the better.
Oh yeah. You know, and security wise too, it's like Baldwin Hardware. They've got, you know, I'm friends with the guys over Baldwin and Kwikset. You know, they're one big company, two different brands, but I was talking to them back at the Design and Construction Week, and they've got a new lock that I'm using on my next Morgan to Oregon segment, which I love. So one, you think about a keypad, okay? So you've got a digital LCD screen that's a keypad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your phone. You go and put your code in to get in. What happens? You keep putting your fingers on the same spot.
It's going to eventually show.
It's going to show you where that is because your greasy fingers are going to show marks on it. What do? They've got a solution for that. When you go up and hit touch the keypad, it knows you're there. It comes up and gives you three random digits. So you'll walk up to it and it'll say, let's say your code to get in is 1234.
Which it shouldn't be.
Don't do that, please. It might come up and say 54. It wants you to hit those two numbers. So you get 54, light up those two numbers. You hit 54 and it goes, okay, now you can put your code in. So now you've got 6 marks on there instead of 4.
And those marks are always going to be in different spots.
Yeah. So it's going to randomly do that and make sure that it's marking up the complete keypad. That helps. And I had a friend that was a cop years ago, and he could always tell people when they had their codes on the front of their phone. He could literally sit there and he'd breathe on it and go, well, there's the four phone digits, and we'd be at a party. He'd do this to his wife all the time. She changed the code all the time. And then he'd post stuff on Facebook on her account and that kind of thing. But he could look at it and go, oh, there's the four numbers. Boom, boom. In 2 minutes, he'd have it figured out.
Process of elimination there.
Oh, yeah. Now he's on there posting on her Facebook page what an amazing husband he is, and he's the best guy in the world, and taking over her social media account. So be careful with your phones, too. That's way the facial recognition and your thumbprint stuff does make a difference on phones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, change your passwords, that's kind of thing. Now, that's one thing I want to talk about here, too. This is an important one. We're dealing with security. Manage your passwords. If you have a password that is one password for all of your online stuff, man, that's easy.
All it takes is one person to find that out and they know everything.
And they know everything. So think about this. Many people out there have different levels of security depending on what they're doing. They will have a complex banking and security system password. If it's a who cares password, that's their who cares password.
Yep.
What are they going to do? Turn my lights off and on? Eh. Maybe that's a lesser security password than what you're doing to get into your online banking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So think about different levels of security require different levels of passwords and create things accordingly. And then I want to see you every few months swapping those out. And that's where you got to be really careful with it. So I want you to spend the time and think about that security stuff. I mean, Ring doorbell has a killer security system built in where it's hard to hack. How do people hack into it? They figure out what your password is.
Yep.
And if they've already compromised their information, they go, oh, Ring doorbell. Well, we know what the email is. We know what their common password is. Let's try it. And all of a sudden they're talking to you outside and inside your house on the Ring. So think about those kind of things. Think about how you're going to secure stuff.
Protect yourself.
Yeah. Get it dialed in. You know, get it dialed in. And like me, I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the last few months here I've had phone calls from all the different, you know, and I've got some good spam stuff on my phone. You can do that with your home phone too if you're not, you know, get some of those spam calls knocked down and make sure that you're on the do not call list. And so a little bit of online security goes a long way. You want to make it hard for them to get into your stuff. You know, and pay attention to that stuff. And that's going to be really one of the things that I just wanted to get on this segment forward thinking about security. Because if you're going to go set a whole bunch of stuff up, think about this before you do it.
Yeah. And you don't set them all up with the same password.
No. Dial it back. Manage it a little bit better. Well, you know, in the next segment here, I can't believe how time flies in this stuff. I want to talk a little bit about the new layers of where I think things are going in the future, because I saw a lot, I've seen a lot, I've talked to a lot of people, and you take into what happened at CES and Design and Construction Week, and you go, okay, I'm starting to see some trends. And I want to talk about those trends where I think we're going to be in 6 months from now, and a year from now, and maybe 2 years from now, of how well companies are going to play together, and maybe how wide-ranging this stuff's going
to
be.
One more thing before we go out to break, I just wanted to touch base on this, because it's kind of important. If you've got a project you're working on, and you want to get some answers to it, make sure you message us over at Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. Go over there, send us a private message, or you can do that in the Around the House Nation. And more importantly, you can even send us an email over at aroundthehouseonline.com. And if there's even a subject that you want us to cover in the show that you want to learn more about, we'd love to hear from you. So send us a message and we'll put you in part of the show. And maybe we can even do a segment about a topic that you're wanting to learn about. We're always looking for great ideas. And so we're going to lean on you guys a little bit to throw some more in there because we've got a long summer ahead of us here. So we want to make you part of the show. All right, we come back. We'll wrap this up just as soon as Around the House returns.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, if you're listening on the radio, thanks for listening. If you're listening on the podcast, we appreciate you as well, and vice versa. So if you're listening out there on the radio, you can catch all that you've missed on the podcast. And you can catch that just about anywhere you catch podcasts out there. When in doubt, head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G, or our website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been talking about home technology and some of the pitfalls and just kind of some of the basics out there for you guys that might be wanting to get into this a little bit more. And I mean, I see that this is going to be one of those things that is changing. I mean, it's already changing week by week, month by month. CES had a bunch of game changers in it as well. But what I see happening now is I see at least an intent by all the different manufacturers to create products that work on every single system.
So they're trying to make everything universal.
They're talking about creating a standard that will be universal.
Okay.
Do I think that Apple is going to make it where everybody can play with it?
No.
Do I think that Google is going to make it where everybody can play with it?
No.
No. But it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Now, it might be one of those things that gets that way where they can, but I think we have a little more work to go. So do your research on your products. But I think that smart home technology is here. I think it's our latest security threat for us personally. I think it's no different than your bank account or anything else. You're going to have to use some common sense tools with it. But I also think that you're going to start seeing things like every dishwasher down the road is going to be automatically sensing the amount of soap going in. It's going to come out of a larger soap container where you're not having to put soap in, and it's going to auto-fulfill itself. So you don't have to remember to go buy soap at the grocery store. But these manufacturers are going to develop partnerships with Amazon or Costco or any other online retailer. Maybe it's a national grocery store chain, whatever it is. They're going to create these things up so when you set your dishwasher up that you're automatically fulfilling it, and it's no different than hooking up the Wi-Fi to your new TV. It's going to want to know what that is. And if you think it's going to be any different for your laundry, it's not. You're now going to sit there and tell your laundry what kind of clothes it is. And it's going to figure out how, does that need fabric softener? Does it
need bleach?
Does it need bleach? Yeah, yeah. You're going to load these things up and it's going to do it for you. So it's going to give you a lot of automation. That's going to be awesome. But you got to think about that stuff. And you have that stuff with ranges and refrigerators. This is the new normal. And so if you're one of those people out there that have not embraced technology, it's going to be the time to do it, because it's going to make life a lot harder to function, especially if you've got a home or you're staying in other people's houses, those kind of things. Be real careful out there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff, and it's going to make life easier for a lot of people. Now, I can already hear that sound in the background of all you guys out there writing me hate mail saying, I don't trust this stuff. I've never put it in my house. I get it. It's not for everybody. But I think that you're going to get more energy savings. You're going to put less soap in the environment. You're not going to be over-soaping things that don't need to be over-soaped. I mean, just the tablets that you're putting into dishwashers have cut back a lot of people putting in too much soap. I am going to fill the cup up. I'm using the extra heavy-duty detergent. It'll be fine. And now you use...
Yeah, fill it until it's full and then shut the thing.
It'll be good. Now you're going to be using the exact amount with that. And now you're going to have refrigerators and freezers and appliances that can call service on its own and tell the service person what's
exactly
wrong.
Exactly what's wrong.
It's no different in your car setting off the service light, except this is going to be able to communicate the Wi-Fi back to the Maytag repairman and do that. So again, these are things that I think they're going to be more efficient for us. If we want to fix it, we're going to have to get into it like a car. It's going to be harder for us to personally fix. But there's also going to be a lot of be able to tech support that's going to be able to fix it as well. So we're going to talk a lot more about technology in the future, but I just wanted to put a show together that's going to give us kind of that baseline that you guys out there that are just getting into home technology, home security, all these smartphone, home, and all those things as well, that we can get things kind of on a basis level.
Step number one, site on a hub.
Figure it out. Build from there. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening around the house. Make sure you catch us during the week here. We've got a lot of things going on, and staying plugged in with us on Facebook. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House by Eric G. is produced by Design by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by Envision Networks. All rights reserved. Copyright 2019. Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all the shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of Around the House with Eric G. We really appreciate it. Like and follow us on Facebook. That's Around the House with Eric G. And make sure you listen to the podcast and subscribe, follow, comment, and share to all your friends. We'd really appreciate it. For more information, head to AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Make sure and follow our podcast Shorts, which is our midweek special on Wednesdays, and Around the Toolbox for the trades on Thursdays. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.